Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for going there with us. We've been talking about over the last couple weeks, and we've set aside some time later this year to talk about it more. Just going after that song that's the song of the people to the Lord and the song of the Lord for the people, and not just singing the songs, but making it more personal. So thanks for going there with us. Couple quick announcements. We are still collecting diapers and baby wipes for the Morningstar Maternity Home. If you've brought some or are getting some, you want to place them over there. Also, just to the left of the diapers. So we have to be real clear here. The diapers are not for sale. They're being donated. Peggy has brought a couple books. I'll let her share about her books. And there is a cost involved with them, and we can work that out if you'd like them. So the Lost and Found, those of you that weren't here last week don't know it exists. Under the offering plate in the back, there's a cabinet that says Lost and Found. Okay, people come here. We love that they come here. Some people only come here every once in a great while, and they always leave something behind. So instead of looking at it for months and months, we've put it in the Lost and Found. I added something to the Lost and Found today. If you're missing something, check the Lost and Found. For clarity, the offering is not part of the Lost and Found, even though it's near the sign. But if you really have a need, come see me. We'll work something out. All right. This month, we're praying for the persecuted church in July. We've got some global prayer guides that we got for you guys. If you want to grab one of them, there's also an app. If you haven't done this yet, do it this week, last week of July. Download the Voice of Martyrs Pray Today app. It's a great app. I went in there to the menu. I set an alarm for a convenient time. I get a little bleep bleep on my phone. Did you guys want to hear that again? No, that's all right. So it dings. I go, oh yeah, I want to pray for the persecuted church. I bring it up there, and it says something, some country I've never heard of. And then I click more info, and it tells me what it's like to be a Christian in that nation. And then I pray for the people of that nation. I pray for that nation. And then I click a little button that says I prayed. And there's a little counter there. And it's really cool. Sometimes it's 1,000 people. Sometimes if you do it later in the day, it's like 6,000 people. But join people all over the world praying for the persecuted church. We are going to randomly grab a church when we pray. I mean a country when we pray and pray for them. Take one of the books. These are the 2022 Global Prayer Guide. I don't want to be stuck with them. So feel free, if you need multiple copies around your house, go for it. If you didn't take a copy and they're gone, hey, not my fault. So use the app, use the prayer guide, spend a little time learning what it's like to be a Christian in other nations. I announced this last week. I'm going to announce it again because I'm excited about it. We had this room we were calling the conference room. We had meetings in there, not conferences, meetings. And we had meetings about once a month. It's a great meeting space. But we wanted to use it to a better purpose. And one of the things that's been challenging about this space that God provided for us, it's an awesome space. But we're all happy, bubbly people after service. We're excited to see each other. We want to catch up. We want to talk about stuff. So the challenge has been for those that want to receive prayer ministry, there's a bit of a party happening around them. And hey, I think you can pray at a party, but we wanted to make it easier. So we converted the conference room into the prayer room. All right? Yeah. And it was funny because somebody said something, and I was like, nah, that's not a good idea. Then I said what they said to someone else, and that other person executed the plan. So it's all converted. It's ready to go. What we're looking for, and I'll just put this out there, because now that I say things and they happen, I'm going to try again. We want something really small to play some worship music. We also need some mints, because we have tissues, but we don't have any mints. And maybe some anointing oil. So if you've got some crazy olive oil at your house, that you're not going to eat because it tastes funny. We can anoint people with it, whatever. You know, maybe it's holy. It's interesting. Levi was at camp this week, and I got a call that he was anointing all the other kids during worship. And I was like, oh, are you guys okay with that? And they were like, yeah, yeah. As long as he knows what he's doing. I'm like, yeah. So And with Levi, when you get a call, you never know what it's going to be about. So you're like, hello? Oh, he was praying for kids? Just tell him to pray for him later if you don't want him to. Anyway, all right. So that's my son. We were on vacation in a resort pool, and he led like 8 kids to the Lord and baptized them and then came and told me about it. So anybody wants to be baptized, see Levi. All right, so we have a prayer room now. We do not have official guidelines because, you know, we're a small group that knows each other. So for now, if you want to pray for people, go in the prayer room. If you want to receive prayer, go in the prayer room. We're just going to leave the door open. Then it's cool. All right, we'll move into some guidelines later. All right, so we will, we don't pass the plate here, but we do take an offering. It costs a little bit of money to keep this place going. God has always provided it, and I'm just so grateful for those who give on a regular basis. I want to encourage you guys to be sowing. God's a generous God. We've talked about this a lot of times. There was this huge problem on the earth, right? Like, man could not live in a redeemed state because of sin. So God's solution was, we all know the verse, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. So there was a gift, and that gift ended up being the restoration of men into what God originally created them to be. So keep that in mind. The God solution to a lot of times is a gift. If you feel manipulated to give, don't give. If you want to give, give. If you want to see what God will do in your life, if you start to give, I'm a spiritual scientist. I call myself that. I hear a theory. I see something in the Word that looks like a theory, so I try it out to see if it works, and giving has worked in my life, and there's a few other people that are regular givers that would attest to that. So if you brought something to give, hold it in your hand. I'm going to pray over it, and then we are going to pray for the Church of Algeria. All right, 97% of Algerians are Muslims. Christian converts from Islam are persecuted by the government and their own family members. In 2008, the government temporarily closed churches. It harassed congregations, Berber Christians who watched carefully. They have a collective voice sharing the gospel with the Arabs. So we're going to pray for the Berber Christians in that region. They need Bibles. All right. So if you brought something to give, hold it in your hand. Let's pray for over the offering and the givers and the Church of Algeria. So Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into what you're doing here. Lord, we ask that you would multiply what comes in, that you would give us vision to use it to change this region for you. We thank you for all the seed that's being sown. We pray that the giver would see a harvest in their own life, that they would see you move in their finances. And Lord, right now we pray for the Church of Algeria. Lord, we thank you for the Berber Christians that are there and they're able to be a light in the darkness there. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them unique, deep, one-on-one relationships with the Sunni Muslims of the area, that they would learn, you would give them great favor, that they would learn to operate in love and out of love share your truth, that eyes would be open to see the truth of your word. And Lord, we pray that you would provide them with Bibles. We pray that you would provide creative ways to get the Bibles into those areas, that they would have your scripture, that they would know it, that you would multiply the scripture in that region. And Lord, we pray for the laws of the land to change, that Christians would no longer be persecuted, and that that land would see revival. We pray that the nation of Algeria would be known as a godly nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to invite Peggy up. I'm going to introduce Peggy. Peggy, I told a story about you, and it's a good one. So what had happened was you were here and you were prophesying over people, and then somebody left, and on their way home they called me, and they were pretty angry that I told them all that personal information. Told you all the personal information about them. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know that actually. So yeah, it's a good story. So we like to talk. Kathy and I refer to Peggy as our prophetic friend who operates powerfully in the prophetic, but does it in a very sweet spirit. So you don't feel chastised or yelled at. You feel encouraged. So be ready for some truth bombs. Please don't call me and yell at me on your way home.
Oh.
All right. Do you need anything?
I don't think so. I think okay. I have maybe a Kleenex later. Well, it's nice to be here again and see some old friends and some of the, not that you're old, you're just friends, I've known for a while, and some some of you all I remember from the last time I was here. It's a couple years ago. Can you hear me okay back there? And Pastor Matt actually came down and he did worship for, we had a picnic last summer and he did worship and we had all kinds of wonderful, you got good reviews on your worship. And so I brought my books along. I'm not going to say a whole lot about them. They're devotional books and they are, I felt like the Lord said as people read the devotions that there'd be times when they would be personal prophetic words for that person for that day. So if you want a book, we have a special going on, 2 for $20. And you can talk to my husband about that. I'm actually starting to work on another book on like a prophetic handbook, which I said to the Lord, there's a whole bunch of them out there. Do you really need another prophetic handbook? And the Lord said yes, so I guess that's what I'm going to be doing. So anyway, today I brought my fan because we're going to be fanning the flame. And as I said that, I felt the Holy Spirit already. Woo! I'm getting fanned. My flame is getting fanned. But I, you know, it's funny how God gives you a message. And a couple weeks ago, I was at this Messianic Christian conference. It was Messianic Jews who had converted to Christianity down in Mechanicsburg, and it was held at Messiah College. And the last day that I was there, there was a Messianic rabbi. His first name is Kokep. So they called him Rabbi Kokep. I don't know if anyone's heard of him. But he was having two workshops, and I thought, I'll go to them. And they were in the chapel at Messiah College. And that chapel kind of had some history with it, because 20 years ago, in that chapel, Billy Burke, has anybody ever heard of Billy Burke? Well, he was ministering in there. I had never heard of him. It was in 20, it was 30 years ago. And I went to see him, and I ended up going up for prayer, and he put his hand on me. I fell out under the Spirit. And he prophesied about me going into ministry and having a ministry. And it was really the first time that all came together. It was the beginning of a calling into 20 years of pastoring and then 10 years of an itinerant ministry. And so that place really has significance to me. And so when I walked in the chapel, I thought about that. And they had he had his workshop. He didn't do too much preaching, but he preached on fanning the flame. Now, I did not take his message, and I'm not going to say it again. But then he said, anybody wants to come up for prayer, I'm going to pray for everybody. And there were like over 100 people there. And my friend who I was with, I looked over, she was already at the top. I thought, boy, she knows how to do this. So I thought, okay, I'll get in line. And I was about 50 people back. And it took a long time to get up there. And all the way up, I was thinking, well, Lord, I don't know if this is going to be worth it. I'm not going to stay in line. And I felt like God said, you do not get out of this line. And so when I got up to the very front, this rabbi, he just was saying, power, power, because he talked about fanning the flame. And I was good until he hit me the third time with the power, and then I fell over, you know, and that hasn't happened in a long time. But the cool thing was, while I was waiting to go up, I kept looking at that one spot, and I was reminiscing, and I thought, that's that spot 30 years ago where I fell under the Spirit, and I got that calling into ministry, and I kept looking at that spot, and I was just thinking, that's where you did it, Lord. That's where it happened. And you know, when I went up, that's where I landed again. it was so significant. And I really felt like something happened. You know, when God touches us, it feels really good and it's nice. But he always has a reason for doing it. And so he had this reason for doing it. And I felt different ever since. And so, he was preaching out of 2 Timothy, and then so I haven't been able to get out of 2 Timothy. Now I've been looking at it. So I ended up coming up with actually a blog that I put out on God rallying the troops that came out of it, and also this message. So if you have your Bibles and on your phone or whatever, I wanted to go to 1 Timothy 1. It's 2 Timothy 1. And in 5-6, and it says, "When I call into remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." I just want to say, when I read that, I thought, oh, wow, I'm a grandma. And there's grandmas mentioned in here that they can be influential. And just think about in the whole Bible, they managed to put a scripture in there to just encourage all the grandmas and the moms. And it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up," in another transitions, "fan, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." And when I looked into 2 Timothy, you know, the whole book, really, it could almost be a pep talk that the Apostle Paul was giving Timothy. And he was saying, "Fan that flame." And he was telling him how to do ministry, and he was encouraging him. And I believe that right now the Lord is getting the body of Christ, right? He's trying to give us a pep talk. And he's doing it through all kinds of different ways, including the fivefold ministry people that are doing it. But he's doing that because there's something that's going on. And there's something that is brewing right now. And it's been brewing for a long time. And God's up to something big. And he's getting the body of Christ ready. And so he wants to encourage you and tell you, fan the flame, get ready. Because I believe prophetically that the Lord is giving out new assignments to people. And he's doing new things. He's saying he's going to stir up some gifts. I've been seeing this week as I've been praying that there's like gifts that are getting cobwebs on them in your belly, in the belly of some people that they haven't been using them like the Lord wants them to use them, or they haven't even been discovered yet. And so the Lord wants us to discover those gifts and to use them, because he's got new things for you to do. My goodness, the way the world is today and what's going on today, the fact that you're here and you believe and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to use you greatly. And so he said, fan the flame. Fan the flame. And when I say that, so many times people, as soon as I say God wants to use you greatly, in their minds they're already counting themselves out. Well, I'm too old. Well, I'm too young. Well, I'm not this. I'm not that. And I just want to encourage you, if you're still breathing, amen, God wants to use you. Amen. Hallelujah. And he has new, exciting assignments for you to do. And he has new people to be reached through you. And he has people who are sick and they need you to lay hands on them and pray a prayer of healing. And they have people who are discouraged that he needs you to encourage. And there's people who are lost who need to be found. And he wants to use you. He wants to use each one of you. And so the Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy, I'm going to go... I'm kind of going, oh, now I'm getting my picture taken. I'm hiding behind here. So he wants to, he told Timothy, he didn't say, there's this gift. And here's all this stuff. Here, I'm giving it to you. And then now you can just kind of stir it up. But he said, stir up. what's already inside of you. And that's I want us to look at this in a different way this morning. I want us to realize that we all carry some stuff. Y'all are carrying something. You know, it's not a weapon. It is a weapon. But you all are carrying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're carrying a power that you don't realize. You're carrying such a power that you can change the atmosphere wherever you go because you carry that power of God. You're carrying all kinds of things that are of the Lord. You're carrying the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And so we need to realize that we are powerful. We're powerful against the enemy, against any kind of thought, any kind of attack. You know, we can't be going around, oh, the enemy's after me again, the devil's after me again. Well, big deal. You know, we're so much more powerful than that. Hallelujah. And so he said to Timothy, he said, stir up those gifts or fan the flame of whatever was inside of him. And I wanted to look at a couple of them today. And the first thing that we can look at that I believe the Lord wants to stir up in this time and season because we need it to a greater degree is the gift of faith. And I believe the Lord wants us to come to the place that when we see somebody who needs healed, that we're not just saying, oh, I'm going to go pray a little prayer for them, hope it happens, hope they get healed, but that we get to the place that we have this fiery faith that says, I know that God wants to heal, and I know that healing is the children's bread. And I'm going to pray with such faith because I know God can do it, that nothing's impossible for God, and that this person can get healed. And I know that I'm in this situation right now, let's say, and I don't like being here, but I know that God can get me through this. And I know that there's something I can learn while I'm going through this. And I know that I know that I know that it's going to be okay. You know, Pastor Matt was talking about the persecuted church. And, you know, sometimes the persecuted church, those who are under that persecution, they have faith that it would put us to shame because they need it. They need it. But we're in this time where God wants us to rise up with our faith. And there's just practical, there's several ways we can do that. And one of the ways is faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God is to keep it and keep in the word. No matter how God feeds it to you, sometimes it's just opening it up yourself. You know, it's listening to it as other people expound upon it. It's all kinds of ways we can get the word off, so many different ways now. So we need to stay in the word so that our faith can continue to be increased. Another way is that we can listen to the testimony of other people and listen to what's going on in their lives. You know, as we hear their testimonies, there's Global Awakening down in Mechanicsburg. I was looking at their website because I want to go to one of their conferences in the fall. And they have a little, you know, a little thing you could click on their website, and you could listen to all the stories of healing, you know, the testimonies of healing. And I almost went by that. I thought, I just want to get on here for the conference. And the Lord's kind of spoke to my heart and said, stop. You know, look at those testimonies, because he wanted me to get them in me so that I my faith would be built up more, so that I, as I prayed for the sick, that I could think, wow, I saw it happen there, it can happen here, it can happen here too. So that another way is through the testimony of others, and just being together, just being with each other. Another way we do it is we remember what God's done in the past for us. You know, why do you think God told the Israelites to observe the Passover? It was It was so that at least once a year they'd remember what you did for them, you know, whenever that you passed over their households. And why do you think Jesus says to us when we take communion, do this in remembrance of me, so that we can remember what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us? So we can remember, and that can build up our faith. So I'm just going to pray right now. So listen, Lord, I pray for an impartation of a greater level of faith for each one of us here. Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I feel you, Lord. And so I just ask that you do an impartation, Lord, that even this week ahead, that we would all, as we are in situations where we need faith to arise, that we will find a new fiery level of faith to rise up within us. And Lord, that we will have that in the moments as we pray in Jesus' name. And so we're going to fan the flame of faith this morning. We're gonna let it be stirred up inside of us. Hallelujah. And so another thing that the Apostle Paul told Timothy to stir up was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today, I believe the Lord wants to stir up some gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some of you don't even know quite what your gifts are of the Holy Spirit. But some of the younger ones, like over there sitting, some of the younger ones, they don't know even what their gifts are yet. You don't quite understand what they are yet. God hasn't pinpointed them to you. And some of you who think you're know-it-alls about the gifts that are inside of you, God wants to stir up some other ones. And he wants to use you in different ways, and he wants to use the same gift in different ways. And so God wants you to stir them up today. You know, it's very important. I talk about this. I know that we shouldn't emphasize speaking in tongues, but it is such an awesome thing to have a prayer language. And people don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. But so since I'm just here for a second and I'm gone, talking about it. But you know, I got tongues by accident. I was praying one time all by myself, and the Lord just gave them to me. I just one of the things that happened was that I was such a young believer and didn't grow up in the church, and I had so much baggage that I didn't even know I had, so much inner healing that needed to be done. And I remember just spending time in my prayer closet when I was alone, just praying in tongues and not even knowing why I was doing it. And later the Lord revealed to me and said, I was healing you. You were praying for things you didn't even know you needed to pray about, because you didn't even have enough self-knowledge to know that you needed healed in certain areas. And I was healing you. Because I would pray and cry and do, and I think, I don't even know what I'm doing here. But I feel God, I think it's okay. And we can intercede. It gives us power. I don't remember any of the other gifts really getting stirred up inside of me. That was the first one that happened. So I just encourage you that that's a way to fan the flame of the gifts inside of you. You know, it's a way to do it. Some people, they just go up to the altar one time and they, you know, get a woo-woo moment and they pray in tongues one time and then they never do it again. I've heard people do that, but I just encourage you. I remember being in a church one time right after I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and Billy Burke did that little going through that. And I was at my home church, but they knew I was a new convert and newly filled with the Holy Spirit. But they had a revivalist come in, an evangelist, and he said, okay, everybody who hasn't been praying in tongues for a month, he said, the last month you never prayed, you didn't use your prayer language, you need to come up here for prayer. And so they all were coming up to the altar. And then he said, any of you that prayed in your prayer language today, in other words, it's active, you need to get behind them on the other end of the side of the altar and pray for them. Well, I didn't know any better that apparently women weren't supposed to go on that side of the altar at that point. And then I was new, and I went back there, so I got a couple looks. But I was amazed at how many people do not use their prayer language, because I didn't know any better. I thought, well, once you got it, you just used it. But apparently that wasn't the truth for everybody. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe that's the one thing you needed to hear this morning. They encourage you to stir up those gifts, to keep them stirred up. Hallelujah. And keep, you know, when you pray in your prayer language, it makes you sensitive to the heart of God. And I remember being able to hear God's voice clearer and really understand, hey, especially when I prophesy, this is not me, this is God. This is what it feels like when God speaks to me. This is God here. And it made me sensitive to him. You understand? And so one way that you stir up those gifts is that you use them. And another way you stir them up is that you get in an atmosphere where the gifts are being used. And it will help to stir it up. And where there's permission to use all of the gifts. And there's so many. There's more than tongues and prophecy and healing. But when you're in that atmosphere, sometimes when you all were there at the at Wildwood, New Jersey, and there's a prophetic conference that they have, and I'm so amazed at that conference because you're surrounded by all these people that are prophetic. They all go to this conference. How easy it is to prophesy there, you know. But it's that spirit of prophecy that is there. And so sometimes when you get around a bunch of people who love the Lord and they're using their gifts, that helps to stir up your gift and the gifts inside of you too. That's another way that you stir up those gifts. I feel like I'm teaching, and this is such a cool subject, and it's like, okay, no, it's more like I'm teaching instead of, it'll get better. It's going to get better. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, I don't know why God's on these gifts. Another thing is, this isn't a time to say no to God. This is, okay, now I'm being stern. This isn't a time to say no to God. This is a time when God says jump, you say how high. Because God wants to use you. And, you know, the devil can talk you out of being used by God in so many different devious ways. A couple months ago, I was in a meeting, and there was somebody gave a message in tongues, and I got the interpretation. And I kind of said to God, I said, well, I don't want to give it. I said, because I get to prophesy and preach all the time. Just let someone else give it. I don't care to give it to me. And I just kind of was saying no to God. And, you know, then the pastor was up there and he was saying, I know someone got the interpretation and they need to be obedient to the Lord. And I was still saying, okay, Lord, just give it to someone else. I'm sure someone else got it. And, you know, we waited some more, and we waited some more, and the Lord said to me, you give that interpretation. And so I finally gave in, and I gave it. And then I was saying, Lord, what was that all about? And God said to me, I just want you to be surrendered to me and obedient to me no matter what. Not to question it, that you're to be obedient and surrendered to me. Hallelujah. This is a time when God wants us to be obedient and surrendered to him. And this is a time when he tells us to step out, that we don't check our pride or see who else is there, or somebody might be offended. But it's a time when, you know, you're in a grocery store. This happened to me not too long ago. I find, like, grocery stores relaxing. I don't know why. There's one that's real close to our house, And it's an Amish discount place, so you can get really deals if you look around. It's like treasure hunting, you know, for deals. And I enjoy going there just for entertainment. And I thought, oh, I need to just get away. So I went to the grocery store. And wouldn't you know it, there was a lady sitting there on a bench, and she was in pain. And the Lord said, go pray for her. And I'm like, well, this is my entertainment time. and I already ministered at church on Sunday, and I already put my time in. See how, but the Lord said, no, you need to go pray for her. And as soon as I went over, I kind of started small talk a little bit, and then I said, you know, I noticed you're not feeling well, and, well, can I just pray for you? And you know, tears came. She needed prayer. And so it's a time when the Lord does not want us to say no. It's a time when we are to surrender. You know, hallelujah. Look, I just keep thinking about the people, what they go through, the martyrs, the people in the churches like that. And then I don't want to even give a couple minutes of my entertainment time to pray for someone who's in pain. So this is a time where the Lord wants us to be obedient and surrender to Him. Hallelujah. Wow, hallelujah. So I'm going to pray. Lord, I just feel like right now that you want us to take a minute and just surrender to you. And Lord, to just say, this week ahead, as I go out, I'm not going to say no matter what. And if you have someone who needs prayer, if you need to use me in any way, even if it's uncomfortable or it stretches me, Lord, I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, one way in which we stir up the gifts is that we surrender. And sometimes the next thing that the Apostle Paul told Timothy to stir up was power. And that was that power that was already inside of him. And you all need to know you're powerful people. You all are powerful. And you carry that power of God. And the amount of power that you carry often depends on the amount of surrender that you've done in your life. And it depends on how many rooms in your heart that you've surrendered. I know many times, just 2 weeks ago, not last week, but the week before, I spoke at two United Methodist churches, and honestly, I was about ready to give up on that denomination, because I'm ordained United Methodist. And these churches, pastor called and said, can you please take my churches? I have to go on vacation. So I said, okay, I'll come and I'll fill in for you. And whenever we left, there, so many people came by to shake your hand. You have to stand there and shake everybody's hand. And they had tears, and they were crying. And I thought, Lord, you're not done with these people yet, because their hearts can still be touched. And but I spoke to them about surrender. And I asked them a couple questions. And one of them was, have you given every room in your heart to the Lord? Because going to church for them, some of them was just, we just do it. We've done it for 50 years. So we just get up on Sunday and we go and we get to see our friends and we get to put in our time, and then it makes us feel good because we're good Christians because we went to church. And that's about as far as they had gone. But they didn't realize that then the rest of the week they needed to be surrendered to the Lord. And so I said, have you let him into places that maybe you think you're all healed up like I did whenever I was speaking in tongues and I didn't even know that I needed some healing, that the Lord healed me up? So is there grief, or are you still mad at your mother-in-law? you're still holding on to things? And the Lord's saying, this is the time.
And this is the season where it's time to give it all to him now, because he's raising a mighty army up. And I'm telling you, it's the Lord's about ready to visit planet Earth in such a way, and that revival is coming, and he is getting his people ready to bring in the harvest. And so in order to be ready, we need to be surrendered. And we need to have ourselves all cleaned up by the Holy Spirit before we can help other people get cleaned up. Because you see, if you just look at where the world is right now, where our culture is right now, there's a lot of messed up people. And people who need deep healing. And they need to be loved in a way that God would love them. And we can't love them the way God wants us to love them if we haven't received all the healing and love that we can get from the Lord ourselves. And so, as if that makes sense to all of you, that we need to say yes to the Lord and let him do what he needs to do in each of us so that we can go out and be used by him greatly and carry the power. You know, a lot of times the amount of power that you demonstrate and carry depends on the amount of surrender that you've made to the Lord. Because if there's all kinds of other stuff in there, there's no room for God. And so he cleans us out, then he fills us up, and he cleans us out, and he fills us up. And so this is a time of even, I believe that the Lord, if you're truly, I'm going to put me in there too, if we are all truly repentant of even things that still have a grip on us, you know, that this is a time of breakthrough. This is a time of bondages being broken. This is a time of strongholds being taken off of us. I know I'm telling the truth. I feel the Holy Spirit so happy. I know I am. You know, and so this is a time of saying, yes, Lord, I come to you as vulnerably as I can, so that you can work inside of me and you can do what needs to be done so that I can be the vessel that you can use to help other people. And I truly believe as we go to the Lord like that, he's going to fill us with such power that we're coming into a time and a season where we're going to be walking by people and the demons are just going to come out of them. That it's not going to take, I said this before, but it's not going to take 10 years of psychotherapy for them to be to have that release, to have the strongholds taken off of them, to have deliverance done, because God's going to have his people ready to know how to do it and to be ready to do it. There's a new purity that the Lord is looking for when it comes to power. You know, we've had many years where the body of Christ and you look at the big evangelists and stuff where they try to manipulate the power, or they've tried to imitate the power of God, or they've tried to do all kinds of things to get the power, but the power comes through surrender. The power comes through us giving ourselves to the Lord and saying, fill me with power, not for me, not for me to look good, not for any other reason. Will you fill me with power, Lord, so that it can go right through me? Fill me up for them. That's the prayer. Fill me up for all of them, for the ones you want me to minister to. Does that make sense? Fill me up for them, Lord. And you know, we can't do anything else to get it. I know many people, they try. I want the power. I'm gonna pray for 50 hours this week because I'm gonna get filled with the power. I tell you a secret. Some of the times when I've had the most powerful meetings were times when I was the most nastiest to my husband the week before. I wasn't a good girl, you know, just different things, you know, gossip, whatever. And then I get up to minister and think, Lord, I don't know how I can have your anointing on me. Look at how I've been all week. And they've been, and I've repented and I've surrendered, and they've been the most powerful times. Mm-hmm. And then other times when I thought, I had 3 hours every day last week to just pray and soak in God's presence. This is going to be powerful now. And they were the most, they were ones that were without power. You know, they were the least powerful. Not without, but the least. So it's nothing we can do. It's like, this is coming to me, but you all remember the Incredible Hulk, you know, back in the 70s. Well, now he's back with the Avengers. Anybody go to those Avengers movies? And there was one that is called Infinity War, whatever, that we went to. And it was just so weird because, you know, back then the Incredible Hulk couldn't get turned into the Hulk unless he got angry. But nowadays he can, Bruce Banner, he can control. So he can control it. So, in this movie, whenever the bad guys would come after him and he needed to become the Incredible Hulk and get the power, all he would just, you know, he would become the Incredible Hulk. Well, in this movie, he, for some reason, he couldn't do it. And so he was kind of and grunting and carrying on. And when he could not become the Incredible Hulk, and all these, you know, the bad guys were coming at him and he needed it. And he was in that position. I remember watching a movie there like that. And the Lord said to me, that's what the body of Christ tries to do sometimes with the power of God. They're trying so hard to be good people and trying to get in God's presence. And it's surrendering to the Lord. And he fills us with his power. None of us deserve to even carry an anointing. It's only the Lord Jesus in us and surrendering to him and wanting it for the right reasons. We want it to help other people. And that's when we carry that power. It's been too long that people, and I was guilty of it myself, people, look how spiritual I am. You know, look how God used me. Look at how the power came out of me. You know, and it's not for that reason. It's to help other people. You know, love and the power have to go together. Hallelujah. They have to go together. And the Lord wants you all to walk in that power. And to a degree that is way, way more than what we have been doing. He wants us to fan the flame. And the way we fan the flame for the power, it's all about surrender. Hallelujah. And so, the Apostle Paul, he was encouraging Timothy to walk in this power. You know, this is what happens when you don't use your notes. You go off. You know, God wants us to be people who we change the atmosphere. And I believe that the devil's been trying to get at Christians, like, oh, there's Christians. But there's coming a time real soon where people are going to seek us out because they're going to see what we carry. Any of you ever hear that story about Stanley and Livingston? You know, did you ever hear Stanley and Livingston? It was years ago. Livingston was this missionary who was in Central Africa. And he was winning all kinds of people to the Lord. And it was back in the early 1900s. And Stanley was a journalist, and he was not a believer, and he wanted to see what was going on with this Livingston guy. And so he went into the jungles, and he found Livingston, the missionary. And he spent a lot of time with him because he was going to write articles about him and write things about him. But he said in his journal, after spending all this time with Livingston, He said, if I would have spent even one more moment with this man, he said, I would have been compelled to become a Christian And he said, because the witness on his life was absolutely it was irresistible. And so, he didn't never said a word to me about it. He said he never witnessed to him. But he felt the power on this man to the degree, he felt the love and power have to go together on this man to the degree that his witness, I believe we would say his anointing, was irresistible. God wants us to walk in that. That type of anointing and power, that we are irresistible to the world. Hallelujah. And we walk in such power that we can go and pray for someone and they will be completely healed. And it's not going to do one little bit to our ego. And the only thing we'll do is praise the Lord for using us. You know, we'll praise the Lord for the opportunity to be used. So, how am I going to end this? So, I just feel like God wants to fan the flame. Hallelujah. I'm just going to do something, if it's okay.
Nobody's afraid of me, are they?
Walk by you and just I'll fan you and put some oil and I'm going to say we'll fan the flame. Would that work?
Yes.
If I do that. And then what time is it? Then after we're done, I guess we'll be dismissed then. I'm going to go in that little room, the prayer room, and if you feel like you would like a prophetic word, I won't be counseling, you know, so it'll be like kind of, you know, quick. I'll just give you a word, and then and pray with you. Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. So maybe if we had some music or something while I'm going around here, so you can be praying. We'll just worship for a little bit, and I'll just come by. How's that sound? If you want to stand up or sit down or whatever, that sound like. Get receptive. Say, Lord, I just surrender to you. I want you to fan the flame.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm digging a well.